So last week we looked at Zechariah 8 from one perspective. Remember, this is the end of the visions, and then starting in chapter 9 we have the prophecies, 9 through 14, about Jesus. But in chapter 8 last week we saw God's prophecies about the future for Israel and Jerusalem specifically. But we're going to go through it again today, but looking at it from a different perspective, and that is, what is the solution? Why is God going to change his approach to Israel in the future? And it comes down, not surprisingly, to their attitude toward the Word and Jesus Christ as the Word. And it's something that we can learn from as well. Because we saw, remember last week in verse 3, that God said that Israel would be referred to as the city of truth. And tonight is about the truth. In verse 8, the Bible says, "And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness." And so tonight's message is about the truth. If you look at verse 16, "These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord." So again, execute truth. And then down in verse 19, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace." So that'll be our title tonight, Love the Truth. Love the Truth. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now you'd use Zechariah in our hearts as we open it together. Teach us and grow us in your word. And in our love for your word. And so we pray you would be honored in this time. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So Jerusalem, as we saw last week, will be referred to as the city of truth. It will be the source of truth. Why? Because Jesus Christ will be there. He's talking about during the kingdom age. Remember, he talked about the holy mountain there in those first few verses of chapter 8, and how Jesus said there in verse 7, "I will save my people." We saw that last week. So it will be referred to as the city of truth. And then again in verse 8, "And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Everything will be different. This is the fulfillment of the fourth covenant given in Jeremiah. And he said, "And I will be their God in truth and in righteousness." God will be the God in truth and righteousness during the kingdom age. Well, Jesus is the truth. Amen. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he told us in John 14:6. We're told in John 1:17, "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So that's our theme tonight, is truth. Now in verses 12 to 15, which we looked at last week, God said that Israel will be a blessing and Jerusalem will be a blessing. But our focus tonight begins in verse 16 of Zechariah chapter 8. "These are the things that ye shall do." So again, he's talking about the future and how his attitude toward them will change and his treatment of them will change. "Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor." Really, he's giving in this short little passage from 16 to 19, man's mission, if you will. And man's mission is all about this. And the first thing he says to them is, "I want every one of you to speak the truth to" who? "To his neighbor. I want you to share the truth with others." Now, this will happen during the remainder of the church age. This will happen during the tribulation period. And it will happen during the kingdom, where man will share with man the truth. And the truth, of course, he's primarily referring to the truth about Jesus. But you and I, speaking of our own mission, this is the first part of it. We talked about it this morning. We are to share the truth. We're to share the truth with our neighbor. Let's look at some verses in Ephesians chapter 4, if we could, just to nail down that this is not only Israel's mission regarding the word, but it's our mission as well, that we speak the truth to our neighbor. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Look at down at verse 25 of Ephesians 4. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of a number. Another, sorry, 2 Timothy 2, if you would, quickly. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. God says here, and the servant of the Lord, that's us, 2 Timothy 2:24, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give him repentance to the acknowledging of what? The truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So our goal, if you will, is that people will come to the acknowledging of the truth. That when we share the gospel with them, which we should do, we're to speak the truth to our neighbor, that they would acknowledge that is truth. Jesus is truth. And I need to be saved. To the acknowledging of the truth. And so God, in summarizing Israel's mission in the kingdom and our mission now, speak the truth. But not just to each other, but to who? To his neighbor. And who did Jesus say our neighbor is in the parable of the... Which parable is it? Anybody know? The Good Samaritan. At the end, Jesus... it was an answer to a question that a guy asked, being a bit smart, saying to Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? And then Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. He said, who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is whoever has a need. And if you see the need, you do your best to meet the need. The world needs Jesus. Amen. So they're our neighbor. And we need to speak the truth to them. So in summarizing their mission, our mission, number one, speak the truth. Number two, verse 16 of Zechariah 8, he goes on to say, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false truth. For all these things are things that I hate, saith the Lord. So our mission is to speak the truth to our neighbor, but then it's also, as we see here, to live the truth. Notice he says that we're to execute the judgment of truth. He says there that we're to love no false truth. In other words, we are to live what the truth says. When he talks about the judgment of truth, executing it. And isn't that our mission in serving Jesus Christ? Now, the first part of our mission is to share the truth. But God wants us to be a shining light. He wants us to be the salt of the earth. He wants us to be an example. And the best way to do that is to live the truth. To do right, in other words, to obey the word, to love one another, to not judge, and so forth. So let's look at some verses on this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. So we can see that this is also the mission of the church. That we, number one, we share the truth with our neighbor. But number two, that we live the truth. And God said there's going to come a day when this will be what Israel's doing. Notice Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's living the truth. Not just speaking it, but living it. To love our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus, of course, explained to us that is the second and the greatest commandment in the Bible. which doesn't come from the Ten Commandments, by the way, but it does come from the law that Jesus has then repeated for us. We are to live the Word of God, live the truth. Romans chapter 12, if you would, verse 17. When we talk about living the truth, it's not only as God's children that we live what we know He's commanded in His Word, but we're to be truthful. That's part of it too, isn't it? Romans 12, 17. The Bible says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." You see that word honest? Christians should be known as the most honest people on earth. which means we keep our word. Which means we always tell the truth. We're honest. And that is part of living the truth. So our mission, in regards to the Word of God, Israel's mission, which will be fulfilled in the kingdom, in these verses here in Zechariah 8, number one, we're to share the truth with our neighbor. Number two, we're to execute the judgment of truth. In other words, we're to live it. But then lastly, look at Zechariah 8, 19. This one's very important. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth, the fast of the fifth, the seventh, the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah, joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore," look how he finishes this passage, "love the truth and peace." You and I are to share the truth with our neighbor. We're to live the truth. But we can't do the first two unless we do the third one, which is we're to love the truth. David said, "Oh, how love I thy law." Psalm 119:90 said that it is my meditation all the day. Let's look at some verses, 119:92 of Psalms. Psalms 119:92. And this is our title tonight, that we should love the truth. Now, you and I know that love is action. Somebody said that somewhere along the way. Well, if we love the truth, what does that really mean? Does it mean we feel good in our hearts about the truth? No. It means that we treat the truth, the Word of God, with love, and the only way we can do that is through action. So if we really do love the Word of God, it will be obvious by how we treat it. Amen? If we set it on the shelf all week, that's not loving it. But if we're constantly in it, reading it, studying it, meditating in it, that is our way of saying, through our behavior, how we're treating it, I love the Word of God. So when David says, "Oh, how love I thy law," he then explains what it means. It's my meditation all the day. I love it so much that my love is displayed through the fact that I'm in it all the time. And this is what God is trying to explain to us. And notice Psalm 119:92, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." Look at verse 127. "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." David said, "I love it more than I love money." And then look at 165. Psalm 119, 165. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Verse 167. "My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." Isn't that good? This was David's attitude towards the Word of God. He said, "I love it. I love it." Our mission is to share it, to speak it with our neighbor. Our mission is to live it. But we can't speak it and we can't live it if we aren't in it. And so we're to love it, which means we're to reveal that love through how we treat it. And so what does that mean? Well, first of all, if you go to 1 Peter 2:2, if we truly love the Word of God, and you know, honestly, I believe this should be the earmark of a Bible-believing church is people come there because they love the Word. Amen? Not because they're super excited about the rock concert they're going to have or the worship team, but because they love this book and they can't wait to hear from it. God says, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. Desire it. That's love. Is your desire for it. And of course, be in it. Right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We, most of us, know that verse, Psalm 119:105. How can the word be a lamp and a light if we don't open it? Carrying around, it's not like a torch. We can't use it to literally shine, can we? We have to open it if it's going to light our way. And as we saw with David, is my meditation. We must meditate in it. He said, it's my meditation all the day. Remember when God was speaking to Joshua? And what did he say? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So how do we show that we love the Word of God? Because we desire it? Because we meditate in it? You knew I was going to say this. Because we memorize it. 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. God wants us to meditate His word. And of course, lastly, 2 Timothy 2:15. We'll stop there. 2 Timothy 2:15. How do we show our love for the Word of God? We desire it. We read it. We meditate in it. We memorize it. And 2 Timothy 2:15, what's the first word? Study it. So to go around saying, I love the Word of God, that means nothing to God. If we love the Word of God, that will be obvious by how we treat it, what we do with it, that it's a part of our lives because we're always in it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating in it, reading it. And during the kingdom, that's exactly what will be happening. But God wants this to be true in our lives today. He says, your mission is to, number one, I want you to speak it to your neighbor. I want you to tell others the true gospel of Jesus Christ, which is only contained in here. Number two, I want you to live it. I want you to execute the judgment of the word. In other words, I want you to know what my commandments are and I want you to obey them. And then lastly, I want you to love the word. And that is displayed through our behavior. If we love the word, it'll be obvious to God that we love the word because we will spend time in it. How's it obvious to God that we love Him? Well, because we desire to obey Him and we spend time with Him. How's it obvious that we love our wife or our husband? Because we spend time with them. And our kids and our parents and on it goes. It's the same with the Word of God. Love the truth. Love the Word. Such a simple breakdown of our mission, isn't it? Speak it, live it, and love it. This book is everything. Love the truth. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. We're so blessed to have a copy of it and that it was preserved for us, Lord. And we can open it and trust it. And we know it gives us all that we need. And I pray, Lord, that we would just make it such an integral part of our lives, Lord, that we would read it every day. We would study it every day. We would meditate in it every day. And Lord, we would strive to memorize it, that we might have it in our hearts as the sword of the Spirit to resist the devil. And I thank you for reminding us of this great truth tonight. May we speak it, may we live it, and may we love it. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.